Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. Basic Gospel is, of course, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, jump on that phone right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and we would like to hear from our listeners today. If you have a question about your freedom in Christ, what does it mean to be free in Christ? We would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. What is freedom? What does it look like as far as God is concerned? Why did Jesus set us free the way that he did through his death on the cross some 2,000 years ago? I love how Paul summed it up and really distilled it into such a powerful, powerful statement in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He writes this: "The aim of our charge, or the goal of our teaching, is love that issues or comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." So that's what freedom looks like. It's love. And so everything that Paul taught, this all the detail that he went into about the very death of Christ, the redemption that blood purchased, the forgiveness that it provided, the righteousness that it bestowed upon us, all the things that Paul talks about in such detail is for this one purpose: love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That's what freedom looks like for you and for me. We were bound up by the law of sin and death. Our hearts could not love. That was an impossibility for us. So we were absolutely missing the mark of what God designed for us. And that's what sin is. It's missing the mark. And our whole being was missing the mark. We weren't living according to the purpose for which God created us to begin with. So why did God send Jesus? Why did Jesus do all the things that he did through his death, burial, and resurrection? For this one purpose. The aim of it all is love. Love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And if you look at those three phrases, you see that the gospel message has generated all three. So a pure heart, when we come to Christ, we're given a new heart. He's cleansed us of all unrighteousness. He has circumcised that heart. He has cut away that evil unbelief. And he has replaced it with a new heart, a heart that believes, a heart that trusts, a heart that is obedient to the Lord. So we have a pure heart. We have a good conscience. Those sacrifices of old cleanse the outside, but this blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed the conscience and from dead works to serve a living God. So we were bound to rules and regulations. We were trying to do anything that we could possibly think of to draw near to God, to try to earn his love and acceptance. Those were all dead works. Why? Because they were sourced by sin. They weren't coming from the Lord himself. They were sourced by sin. And when sin is at the source of something, sin is the result. So we've been cleansed. Our consciences have been cleansed so that we can serve freely a living God, and then we have a sincere faith. If you have a heart that genuinely believes that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you have a sincere faith. You're not believing in a false message. You're not believing in something that man has made up. You are believing in the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. So this gospel message has given us all three of these things: a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And out of that is going to come the very love of God, first for him in response to his great love for us, and then toward one another. that's what this gospel message is all about. This is what freedom really looks like for each and every believer. And he goes on and gives a warning. And here's something that we really need to pay attention to. It says, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So these folks who have wandered away from these very things, the fact that the aim of the charge is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, they want to be teachers of the law. Well, the law is never going to produce these things. The law is going to keep you under the power of sin. That's what it was designed to do, to keep you there until Christ came so that he could set you free. And once he has set you free, then the law has done its work. So if you want to teach the law, then your aim is not love. You have a completely different purpose in mind. So we need to be discerning about that. We need to have ears that pick up the language that says, if you do this, then God will do that. What is that? That is a law mindset. We see a lot of people who give their money. Why do they give their money? Because if they give, then God will bless. And they are looking for a financial return. A lot of people pray a whole bunch. Why do they pray? If we pray, then God will do this. If we pray hard enough, get enough people to pray with us, then we can obligate God to bless us, to answer our prayer. That's not the grace of God. That's a contract. That's a law. That's what we're trying to do. And there's a lot of people that try to teach that way, but there's no freedom there. And the end result of that law-based teaching is not love, but it is judgment and fear. So put on those ears of discernment. Listen, let the Spirit of God enable you to pinpoint the kind of teaching that you're listening to, and cast aside anything that doesn't have as its end goal love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith.
Understanding this is a big deal. It really is a big deal in how we live our lives every day. And if you've ever wondered how the Christian life is really supposed to work, well, Bob Christopher's Harvest House book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, answers that question in real-life terms and points to the truth of the New Covenant, the place of freedom, freedom from guilt and failure. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is yours this month. If you would like to get a copy, it's only $10, and we pay the shipping. There's a prominent link right on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can order by phone at 844-322-2742. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Order yours today and find out how this Christian life is really supposed to work. And that's what we're talking about every day here at Basic Gospel. Well, guys, we had a call that came in off hours. Let's listen to that call right now. Before we do that, though, let me give the number once again, 844-322-2742, whether in Canada or the U.S., toll-free, 844-322-2742. Now that call.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to a question. My question is, I've been helping some unsaved people for 4 years now, and for some reason they feel that I still owe them. My question is, how do I go about? I know the word says, be not unequally yoked. I need advice, please.
Short and sweet question there. Yes. Simple question. Helping others. And, you know, a lot of times we do what we can to help others, but oftentimes others don't want to receive the help. They're not interested in the help. And maybe you're helping financially, and that's, you know, you've got them hooked on that in some way, shape, or form. And I think you have to step back and say, how best can I help in this situation? And, you know, just let the Lord lead you in that regard. If you feel like you're being used, if you feel like that your help is not being received well, then maybe it's time to rethink it. And your ultimate goal, if you're in contact, in relationship with people who are lost, your ultimate goal is for them to hear the gospel and to believe the gospel. Now, you can't force them to believe it. That's God's job. That's his work. Only he can bring about true conversion. But what you want to know is, do they understand what the gospel is? Have they heard the message concerning Jesus Christ? So that's your ultimate goal. And so maybe you're helping them financially. Maybe you're providing some food. Maybe you're doing something else to meet a physical need. But that's all to serve a greater purpose, and that's to share the good news, to bring them to a point where at least they've heard the message. And if they've heard the message, then you've done your job. God has used you to voice the truth about Jesus, that Jesus died for their sins, that Jesus was buried to put an end to their old way of life, and Jesus was raised to life so that they too could have life everlasting. And if you've gotten to that point, then you just leave the results of that into God's hands. And one thing we have to know, we have to really understand, we cannot bring about results. We cannot change a person's perspective. We can't make people respond to us with gratefulness and thanksgiving. We can't do any of those things. So you can't bring about those results. So you have to just leave those things in the Lord's hands. And I think when you do, it changes your perspective. Yeah. It changes how you're looking at the good deeds that you are providing in a person's life. Yeah. But if you're struggling and you feel like you've gone far enough, don't beat yourself or feel guilty by stepping away. Yeah. That you have freedom.
And so, certainly don't allow someone else to put you under
that's
guilt.
That's exactly right.
You know, they should be saying thank you, not you owe me.
Right.
So that might be a clue.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and ma'am, I hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. Had a question on theology from Dave. He says, my Armenian friends always use John 3:16 to affirm their free will, particularly the world versus the elect. Can you offer any helpful advice? That's from Dave, who dropped us an email.
Well, I assume that he is writing from a different perspective, from a Calvinistic viewpoint, so one that would really center on the sovereignty of God, that it's God doing all the choosing, God doing all the work and that sort of thing, that God is making people alive in Christ Jesus, and then afterwards they believe. That's the reform position, the Calvinistic position. And then there's the Armenian position that would say, no, man has free will, and God is working this gospel message through the free will of man. So those are the two positions. And we have to come to grips and ask the question, who in the world is Calvin? Who in the world is
Jacob Arminius?
Right.
Yeah.
Who is he? Why would we be following one or following the other? Neither one of them died for us. Neither one of them was raised back to life for us. It's all Jesus. And so we have to get back to Jesus. So we have to realize that, you know, God initiates, we respond. So he initiates to us in grace, and then we receive that grace through faith. That's not a work, and it's not something that is truly an independent free choice. It's a choice that we make in our human experience, but in response to the grace of God. I mean, if the grace of God didn't hit our human hearts, we would never choose in that regard. I mean, we have a long history to look at where a man has constantly chosen everything but God. And only under the influence of the grace of God are we going to make the choice to believe God. Mm-hmm. So we have to recognize God's work in initiating. I love how Peter put it in his first letter. He gives kind of the threefold work of the Trinity. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. So the Spirit is involved in this. The Spirit of God is convicting the lost world of wrong about sin and the fact that they do not believe in Jesus, wrong about righteousness, wrong about judgment. So he is trying through his power to connect us, to set us apart for what? For obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. So this is the work of God on our behalf in that process of conversion. Yes. And through faith, we receive all of this. Through faith, it becomes ours. So that's our belief. Now, it seems like we're making a choice. It seems like through our free will, I am saying yes to Jesus Christ. But I'm saying yes because of the work of God in this threefold purpose. The foreknowledge of God, he foreknew that Christ was going to come into this world and shed his blood. He sent his Spirit to convict us wrong, to show us what our real problem was, not simply sins, but at the core, an unbelieving heart. And there's this obedience to Jesus and to the sprinkling of the blood. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was raised Arminian, maybe not pure Arminian, but still strongly Arminian. And so my whole life before I truly met Jesus was one of, well, you know, if I don't do it exactly right today, that must mean I've chosen against God and I've lost my salvation. Well, then we got to start over again.
Yes.
Oh, okay, now I start over again. And then I blow it. And then I say, I've chosen against God, and I must have lost my salvation. Missing the point. It's not about me.
Right.
It's about Jesus. So if I could lose my salvation, truly lose my salvation, how would I ever get it back? Only by having Jesus die again. Come to this, to the earth, live, die, be buried, rise again, and start over. That's not how the Bible describes it.
No, not at all.
Because it is not about my behavior, my choice, my ability to do anything. And so when I was leaning on this Arminian point of view, I was in gross legalism my whole life, and it was miserable. My appeal to this guy's friends, invite them to freedom, because the freedom is in Jesus. The freedom is not in my choice.
Yeah, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Like I say, I grew up the same way. I feared that I could lose my salvation, or that at any time, if I didn't like it,
if I got a better offer,
then I could choose to walk away. Well, we're missing the whole point of what God did for us in Christ, the fact that he made us alive together with Christ. We crossed over from death to life. We were given a brand new heart, a new identity. We're now in this new covenant. That's all of God's doing, none of ours. Mm-hmm. We simply receive that by faith. And so we make the decision, but it's influenced by the grace of God.
Completely.
It's all grace from start to finish, my friends.
And those are the things we've been talking about all month here at Basic Gospel. And, of course, we're nearing the end of another month. And Bob, talk to our listeners just a little bit about the importance of keeping this message going day by day.
Well, quite frankly, there's not a lot of radio programs out there where there is a singular focus on the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. We are one of the few that do that. Day in, day out. If somebody tunes in to Basic Gospel, they're going to hear the story of Jesus. They're going to hear about the grace of God. They're going to hear about the forgiveness that is theirs because they are in Christ Jesus. That's what they're going to learn about. And folks, those are the very things that change lives.
Yes.
We can learn about all sorts of things that are informative, that are entertaining, that tickle the ears a little bit, but only the grace of God is going to lead to love from a pure heart, a sincere faith, and a good conscience.
Yeah.
So that's what this program is all about. So we need your support. We need you to stand with us, to stand up with us and say what the world needs now is Jesus. What the world needs now is a deeper understanding of what Christ accomplished through his death, his burial, his resurrection. Folks, this is a critical moment in human history. Don't let this moment go by without standing up and saying, I'm for the gospel. I'm for Jesus. And I want everybody on this planet to know what this story of Jesus is all about. That's why it's vitally important to give generously, and to support the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ.
And several ways that you can donate, friends. First, of course, is online at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right there on the homepage. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app, or you can donate through PayPal. And in Canada, you can use basicgospel.net/Canada. Your gifts make a big difference, and we thank you for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. And when you give by midnight tomorrow night, we'll send you a copy of our brand-new Law and Grace series. It's all about what we've talked about all month. As a matter of fact, it's what we talk about all the time here at Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, I got a great question in the email today. We answered a question from Jonathan on the Big Island of Hawaii last week, and he had a follow-up question, and he says, I know Jesus said that you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and that is true, and that's the rescuing of a lost soul portion of God, but there's another portion that is also equally real, the furious God, Jesus, coming back soon to take his creation back and is currently seated in heaven, and that portion of God is truly terrifying. And so how do we reconcile those two, and how does Jonathan live without fear of, quote, this furious God that's coming back? And I think that's an important question for all of us. And there is so much talk out there about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. All the events, world events, are leading to that way. And so we believe that his return is imminent. And boy, every day is one day closer. And all that we see in the book of Revelation is going to come true. And just this fury and this wrath is going to be unleashed. Well, those are scary things, but we don't have to be scared, do we? Why? Because we have already been sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked out as one who belongs to the Lord. So as Paul wrote in Romans 5:9, we have been saved from the wrath to come. Why? Because we've been saved by the very life of Jesus Christ. And because we've been saved by the very life of Jesus Christ, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and declared righteous, none of that is going to affect us in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Our judgment has already been declared.
Yes.
We have eternal life. And when we stand before God, that's what we're going to hear. You have life everlasting. Your name is written in the book of life. Those who have not received life, well, their judgment is clear too. Mm-hmm. They're going to experience eternal death apart from God. Now, that's a sad, sad deal. But Jonathan, you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit forever.
Amen.
Wow, that's where we want to be, man. I'll tell you for sure. Well, friends, if you're struggling with how to live the Christian life, well, you've assumed a role that is really not yours. Now, through the pages of his excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob Christopher explains how he struggled through the early years of his life in Christ, ultimately finding the truth that set him free. It's all there in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And right now, you can have a copy for only $10, and we pay the postage. You'll find it at basicgospel.net, or you can order by phone at 844-322-2742. So if you're struggling with living out the Christian life, order your copy of Simple Grace or Simple Gospel Simply Grace today and find out how this Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, just click the link on the homepage at basicgospel.net or call your order to 844-322-2742. Remember, too, that if you have a question, you can call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.